Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Herbie, let's duck, duck, go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Anthony Herron.
All we got to do is do our job and punch him in the mouth every single play.
Bears Monday with Big Ant.
One of the offensive linemen from Indiana just starts like kind of ramming my face in the ground, basically, in the midst of a pile of bodies. So I, with my dexterity that I have and the flexibility, I rear back while my face is in the ground, and I just kick him in the chest. So all the officials see is a big body, a big Hoosier body flying backwards, and my foot being the reason why.
He gave me some kind of Bruce Lee cross kick or something.
I kicked the out of him.
Sirius XM and Fox 32 football analyst.
They have no idea what goaded me into doing that, so I end up getting ejected from the game because I kicked this dude in the chest and he goes flying.
Oh, yeah! Look at you! You was popping all that good a second ago, then you got kicked in your chest!
Anthony Herron and Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Big Ant joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Along with doing all the incredible football analysis that he does all over the place, he did a wonderful job sitting in for me. I was able to hear a little bit of Friday's show before I headed back from vacation from the islands of Blue and Stony. And I thought that Big Ant Herron did a wonderful job. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Enjoying a little bit of the respite in the schedule that the football offseason tends to bring while still consuming and performing and doing some of those things that the playoff race tends to provide us in the city, since there's no Bears happening, but there's a whole lot of news to still keep watching.
Dealer's choice. What game do you want to start talking about from this weekend?
Well, the one from Sunday night is obviously the one that's on the tip of everyone's tongue, and I have the same postseason debate with people every time this comes up. And admittedly, the quick finish to an NFL playoff game and ending on the first possession, that's happened more frequently here in recent years than it used to in the past. But on the whole, you know, we haven't seen for, you know, last decade, last 20 years. It's not like the majority of NFL games that go to overtime end up finishing on the first possession. But we've seen it with some prominent games, obviously, here over the last handful of seasons. And so the reaction to it is enhanced, partly because I think a lot of it just at its core is not only the desire to keep watching Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and seeing that the touchdowns get scored at these record clips. That's all fun and everything. But I think in the end, just any good football, we can never get enough of it. And that's the thing, just our ravenous appetite, our voracious desire to keep having more and more of this magnificent sport is never satiated. It is never satisfied. When there's a good football game going, we forget all the stuff about health and safety. We forget all the concerns for injuries and everything else. All we want to know is, how do we extend this? How do we get more and more possessions? How do we get more and more passes being thrown? How do we get more and more speedy people in space throwing up the deuce as they go into the end zone? That's all folks are concerned about in that moment. They don't worry about all the big picture stuff. So in the end, I think that's really the core of the disappointment that folks tend to have win an overtime game. And I was on the Detroit Lions. We played here at Soldier Field when my coach, Marty Morningweg, ended up taking the wind as opposed to taking the first possession. And then the Bears, who nothing had been happening against the wind the entire second half of that game because it was just this oppressive, you know, Lake Soldier Field wind and nobody could work against it. Marty said, you know what? We'll take the win. Give him the ball. And then, of course, the Bears marched down and kicked the game-winning field goal. I just think the game continuing on longer would have been fun, but I'm good with what we saw, man. We saw history happening before our eyes. And so it was an outstanding game. It shows the current state and the future of the NFL between the Bills and the Chiefs. And, I didn't mind the fact that it ended in one possession. We got to saw 60 minutes of regulation action before we got to that point.
I'm with you on that. My whole thing is, and I know that there are former players that are on the opposite side of it, which I think is interesting, but you've played 60 minutes of the most brutal game. The idea of making it a 75-minute game, no matter what happens, I don't like that. I would probably settle for that instead of the college rules. But I don't think the system is broken. I think all you needed to do was come up with a stop, and then you could have gotten the ball back and won with a field goal.
And nothing guarantees you anything, of course, but with 13 seconds to go.
There it
is. You had an offense. Yeah, an offense that took the lead, man. You had an offense that with a minute on the clock. It's not like a minute on the clock guarantees you anything, but Mahomes and the Chiefs go down, snatch the lead from the Bills. Josh Allen said, all right, check me out. I'm your Huckleberry. This is just my game. Josh Allen drives back down the field with a minute to go and with 13 seconds on the clock, takes the lead back. Your defense and your special teams let you down. Not the coin toss. We've seen coin tosses leading into the top of the game. We've seen coin tosses historically in overtime. There was all kinds of opportunities for the Buffalo Bills that went unrequited, that went unrealized before you get to the toss of a coin. And, oh, by the way, it's not like it was still – it looked like 7-on-7, but there were 11 NFL defenders on the field against Kansas City. They just didn't get it done with 13 seconds to go.
What did you think of Leslie Frazier's choice to stay with the too-high look? And let me read a couple of statistics because I thought it was interesting. There was a little bit of two man. There was some just they were playing too high. Mahomes versus too high in last night's game. 29 of 38, 344 yards and two touchdowns. I get it that there really isn't a good defense against Patrick Mahomes when he's cooking like that. But at some point, should they have changed it up?
There's no Gary Payton. There's no glove. There's no Jordan stopper out there.
There's no Mahomes stopper. Although people around the league have been talking about, well, if you can drop seven and you can play cover two, maybe it's like, no, this dude is unreal. So I'm just wondering, should Leslie Frazier have changed it up a tad?
I mean, sure. Worth a try. I mean, I suppose try anything. What I didn't like was the very first snap of the series. Because you know, with 13 seconds to go, as backed up as Kansas City was, I mean, you're 80 yards away from the end zone. So it's not Hail Mary mode there. But they acquiesced about 20 yards to Tyreek Hill right off the snap. There wasn't a defender within 10 yards of Hill. So not only do you have the decision where, I mean, we've seen squib kicks that don't work out perfectly, but you run no time off the clock by kicking it out the back of the end zone. So then they get it. And with those 13 seconds fully remaining, you acquiesce 20 yards. Now, you're still thinking, we'll be in position to make a tackle, to get a deflection by dropping into coverage. But I do believe that because of the special teams decision that runs no time off the clock, and because you acquiesce 20 yards to Tyreek Hill from there, yeah, you rally up and make a tackle. But now things are really comfortable with the remaining time. And we obviously saw the antithesis of that decision earlier in the day. We saw Todd Bowles take a more aggressive approach. And there's certainly a happy median in there that can be found. But we saw Todd Bowles with overtime on the line saying, you know what, we are getting after this dude. We're coming after Matt Stafford, even though he'd been one of the best quarterbacks in football against the blitz. This is Todd Bowles being Todd Bowles or being Greg Williams in this case. It really feels like he brings pressure in a game that should have, at least regulation seems like should have, certainly could have ended in a tie. And he gets carved up by Matthew Stafford, one of the most talented passers we've seen in this generation of football, and Cooper Kupp, who won every major statistical category throughout the regular season. And Cooper Kupp is one-on-one against a talented young safety in Antoine Winfield Jr., but it's a one-on-one matchup, and it's with the game on the line. Things are so chaotic in those moments, and so as a coach, certainly all you can do is make your call and trust your players, but in factoring these things in, to me, it felt unnecessary. It felt gratuitous to try and blitz the Rams. A slot pressure in that moment just wasn't required, man. You had JPP heating up the pocket for you like every other snap. You had a defensive front that was making an impact on the game. And Ndamukong Suh had just taken the ball away from Cam Akers. You had a D-line that was cooking pretty well over those last few series. So we saw both approaches there. One, that in results was seemingly, you know, far too sort of, you know, stagnant. And we saw one that seemed far too aggressive from a game earlier in the day. In the end, yes, when great quarterbacks are playing great, the way the rules are set up, it is hard to stop offenses from doing some of these things in these moments. But I think because of what the game situation is, the uber aggressive approach from Todd Bowles earlier in the day, when you should just be playing for overtime with that amount of time remaining on the clock, and then the game later in the day where you know they're not going for a Hail Mary yet, and you acquiesce the initial yardage. I thought there were multiple decisions there that because of the situation, not the result, but because of the situation of the game, ended up being bad decisions.
I am so impressed with what we see with Joe Burrow and him not being flappable in these moments. It's almost like he doesn't know. His confidence to me is inspiring. I love that he never feels like they're out of a game, and he will do whatever it takes to keep them in one.
It's noteworthy in my mind. And again, this doesn't guarantee you anything, but Joe Burrow being in college for five seasons, and even in that national championship game in his senior year at LSU, where he played against Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence, a more all-around gifted quarterback, and long term I'm still fully in on Trevor Lawrence as eventually becoming a great QB. But even think back to LSU versus Clemson in the national championship game. Both had high powered offenses, but Trevor Lawrence had a few weapons that were banged up and whatnot. But the maturity of Joe Burrow, even on that stage, as a football player who had been 5 years in college, didn't really realize his potential. Obviously, multiple quarterbacks. He was low on the depth chart at Ohio State, transfers to LSU, had a very ordinary junior season his senior year for LSU, becoming the starter, and then he just sets the world ablaze and becomes the number one overall pick. But his development arc happened very late in college, and that maturity we saw on display throughout his entire time in Baton Rouge and then coming into the NFL. Joe Burrow's only 1 year younger than Pat Mahomes when you really look at their actual age. And so for him, at the point he enters the league, you see a more fully realized mentality for what he could immediately bring to the table. That maturity that's been on display, the unflappability that he shows, was there since his time late in college, and just being a formidable individual. And it's part of why I'm really confident in Justin Fields, like I've talked to you about here in Chicago, because with the right structure, I think you have the talents and you have the formidability of him as a person, then I think that's going to be fully realized with the proper structure that the Bears can try to put in place here. I think that Joe Burrow is a great example of a guy who, because of the amount of time he spent in college and his development arc happening a bit later, but then once he gets to the league, kind of like, I mean, how many times have we talked about Io DeSumo up to this point between his collegiate time and his time now as a rookie with the Bulls, being 3 years in college and just developing at that point, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. He comes in ready to try and achieve at the highest level that he can, you know, potentially try and achieve physically. But because of him being ready to take on everything that being a professional athlete demands of you, then being a little older during your rookie season is something that we see still examples to this day, where the curve seems to be going more towards guys getting into the pro ranks younger and younger. And as soon as you're eligible and you know you got the game to do it, let's go ahead and make that pro jump. But there's certain guys who you see some examples here of where having that additional season, having in Joe Burrow's case additional seasons at the collegiate level, really puts you in a strong position to achieve at a high level right away.
When I looked at this weekend of games, you had a little bit of everything. You had defenses playing well on Saturday and changing the game over on Saturday. Sunday night, you had just the future being realized of what the game can look like when you have transcendent talents at the quarterback position. You had the GOAT doing GOAT stuff at the end and still losing. And then on Saturday night, you had a three-phase game. And the three phases became really important. I covered the Bears when Lovie Smith was the head coach. The third phase was always really important to him, and it showed in his hiring and the type of allocation of dollars that the Bears would put into special teams. The 49ers showed a weakness in the Packers and took advantage of it. And it was talked about. Like it was interesting to me to hear Buck and Aikman discuss it as the game was starting, that both coaches had talked about the importance of special teams, and it was San Francisco that came out ahead in that regard. I loved seeing a three-phase game at this point in the season.
That's where the totality of your organization and sort of recognizing the importance of that, where, you know, throughout much of Aaron Rodgers' time, some of the, you know, kind of demeanor that he tends to show after a disappointing loss, where, you know what, I'm kind of with you, A-Rod, because they could have maybe given you a little more defense, or you had a coach who didn't worry about running the ball, or your special teams let you down. And obviously, special teams did let Green Bay down in that game, but it was still a game where the Packers scored, what, 10 points? So, I mean, you know, that storyline specific to Aaron Rodgers, there was more that was certainly easy to expect more out of him, even in difficult, you know, offensive circumstances. But that being said, you did see where San Francisco, their sort of bottom-up approach to the roster, to personnel. You're looking at Jimmy Garoppolo, who's a game away from playing, from starting his second Super Bowl over the last few seasons here. And, you know, a lot of folks had, I think, higher anticipation or expectation for what they maybe thought Jimmy Garoppolo could become, maybe already was, just in time being Tom Brady's backup for a few games. But he wins, and he makes boneheaded mistakes here. He's one of these quarterbacks who, I don't know, if Kirk Cousins was in San Francisco right now instead of Jimmy G, maybe Kirk Cousins is that Jimmy G-level guy just in the amount of winning that gets done there. Because Jimmy Garoppolo isn't a special talent as a quarterback, but the approach that San Francisco's organization has taken allows him to be who he is and be sheltered by a run game, be sheltered by a defense, be enhanced by those special teams that can allow him to not be special as a quarterback, not be a rookie. He's not one of these guys on a rookie deal where they can spend a bunch of money elsewhere. He's a guy with a good contract, a starting quarterback in the NFL, who they have already drafted his replacement and is still out there making plays that are necessary to win games and doing it on the biggest stages in the league. And you see really the two opposed approaches on display there, where Green Bay has put so much into quarterback. And San Francisco said, you know what, we'll get a guy. We'll get a guy we feel is reliable, but really try to have our roster as deep as possible all around him and not count on the quarterback to be the driving force. Now, you know, how sustainable is that? They might make their second Super Bowl in the last few years, so maybe this is a very specific case for the modern NFL, but it really stands out to me how different you're looking at the way San Francisco is set up versus where some of these other teams with these studs who they have put hundreds of millions of dollars to at QB.
I'm going to save my Aaron Rodgers follow-up question for another discussion, because I feel like we'll have time to talk about it.
Right.
But I am curious on how you feel the search for a GM and coach is going for the Bears. And if you like, I have my preference is I don't care about any particular candidate, but I do have a preference, and I would like for them to hire the GM first, because that allows the GM to do his or her version of what they think is going to work. Where do you stand on all of this and the 2 weeks that the Bears have used to figure out what they want to do?
What I've been told by folks at Hallis Hall who I've asked about that particular topic is that they prefer to hire the GM first, but they haven't ruled out hiring the head coach first if they are just blown away by someone who they feel like they don't want the market to get away from them in that regard. It does strike me as sort of as this being a week timing-wise that's sort of critical or pivotal, because I do think that some of these positions will begin, you know, not just the Giants with their GM. I think coach and GM moves, especially with the folks who lost over the weekends, a lot of coordinators who hit the market, who are really available to immediately be on the hiring block for some of these squads. So my impression is that we're days away from some of the prominent names in the cycle right now being snatched up by folks. And so the Bears have done a lot over the last couple of weeks, all kinds of interviews, and now getting into some second interviews with some folks. In a couple of cases here, some first interviews still coming at the top of the week here, even today. But this feels like a pivotal week from a timing perspective. I don't think you want to go through this whole week having not made a hire. If I'm just, this part would be complete guesswork, but you know, the Bears, how they may prefer it to play out would be within the next couple of days here. You get a GM figured out, you make that hire, and then you're not far away from being able to make the coaching hire. And my impression is that that's the direction and just sort of the pecking order they would like it to play out in. But there's been a lot of these prominent coaching candidates who they've already been able to have discussions with. And so if there is someone who has been impressed by the Bears, and I'm not really concerned about some of the talk that that was there last week about whether or not they're asking the right questions. If there's one or two questions that someone thought was odd in the midst of multiple hours being interviewed by the Bears, I was telling Dan and Layla, I've been interviewed by NFL ball clubs before. You spend a lot of time, you know, on the phone, on Zoom with these individuals in these circumstances, and yeah, not every question is going to be a winner. It's really more about you. If you want that gig, did you do your thing right? And if you didn't, then maybe you cast a little shade afterwards. But yeah, not every question is going to be at the pinnacle of what you really think should be asked in that moment of every job. But you spend hours talking to these people and setting these things up. So my impression that these coming days and this coming week is going to be pretty pivotal with a lot of the names that ended up, you know, not necessarily hitting the street, but really coming more available for hire.
Yeah, you're seeing some of the coaches that clearly people want to talk, like everyone who's on the Buccaneers staff for the most part in a senior level, like you want to talk to get their thoughts on it. And there's some Bears ties there too with Harold Goodwin, who I think should be on people's list. He's the assistant head coach down there at Tampa. I want them to do this the right way. And if I'm not assuming that them taking their time is the right way, but if they would have just run out and hired someone at the behest of Bill Polian, and it would have just been like, oh, well, those guys are all Colts. Ah, that completely makes sense what they ended up doing. I don't think I would be satisfied, but I think that you're right. I think this week becomes incumbent upon them to have their person who's in charge of football in the house, because there's a lot of stuff that's happening beyond this week.
There certainly is. There are going to be so many decisions to get made. You got the all-star circuit that's already preparing to churn between the East-West Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl, and you want to be able to get all your personnel organized and in a position to attend those events and have their eyes on all those things and start to interview those prospects as the combine approaches and, of course, the draft approaches. So you don't want to necessarily throw off your timeline too much because you need both positions. It's not like you got a GM and a president of football out in place and you're just looking for the head coach. You need your top football person. You need your head coach. You need both those roles, and neither one is right now within the walls at Hallis Hall. So now that they've done all the diligence that's kind of been going on here over the last couple of weeks, it feels to me like they've collected enough data. They've talked to enough folks. I think maybe even in whatever ways, you know, you've been able to refine what you feel is important to you going through the interview process after talking to a whole bunch of folks. Then, you know, I would think even folks who maybe they're just talking to for the first time today, you can move more quickly towards advancing to your pool of finalists and see how quickly you can make this thing happen. But I think from a timing perspective, this week feels fairly pivotal. And, you know, if a lot of folks got snatched up last week, then maybe last week would have felt more pivotal. But my anticipation is now that we're deeper into the playoffs, we've gone longer, multiple weeks with a number of franchises having neither role, a bunch of them still not having a head coach. And who knows, man, like Mike McCarthy in Dallas, if the Cowboys job opens up, there's still some other opportunities that may sort of water down the market and muddy the waters for some folks a little bit, both candidates and ball clubs. So I believe that this week will be a really pivotal week for the Bears in figuring that out.
Big Ann, as always, I appreciate the time. Thanks for filling in last week. You did a great job.
I appreciate you, man. Always my pleasure.
That is Big Ann Heron. You can watch him on a bunch of different platforms, including Fox 32. He's all over the place, but he's now got a little bit of downtime because now he can just enjoy football, which is great. I want to talk about enjoying last night's game, throw some statistics your way, and talk a little bit about Tom Brady. I'll do that next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station. It's time for the 2-Minute Report. 2 minutes.
What?
Not one, but two.
Oh, say less.
It's time for the 2-Minute Report on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Can't wait.
Brazdeikis. And whip it back out. Schofield 4-3 to tie the game. Admiral Schofield in his second year out of Tennessee. Here is Brazdeikis, and it's a 16-point lead for Orlando.
My goodness.
Cole Anthony. Cook trying to deter him. Cole Anthony gets it to go. His third field goal of the night.
Oh, no.
Carter to the rim.
No, that's just too easy. That's too easy. No reason in the world that Wendell Carter Jr. should be that wide open on a cut without someone popping.
DeRozan trying to battle Franz Wagner. Vucevic came over for the help. It's a foul and a chance at three for the rookie out of Germany. Will it be a clear path foul? Whoa. Franz Wagner, we've talked about it. Talented player. Probably not the thing you want to do. Probably don't want to go at DeMar DeRozan if you're Franz Wagner. Loose ball is going to end up being fought for into the hands of Mo Wagner. Off to Schofield, and the Magic have it. Brazdeikis has a clean look at three.
Wow. Man, a 50-50 ball off the tip. Oh, come on now.
Yep.
Come on now. And he's out there looking like Aaron Jordan.
DeRozan step back. It's good again for DeMar DeRozan. Single-handedly keeping the Bulls in this game. Oh! Wow!
I told you. Listen. Stop gambling on this kid and play solid defense. Stop gambling. Stop trying to go for steals.
Highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. Adam Amin and Stacey King on the call. The Bulls get blown out by Orlando, 114-95, and real chirpy. News from Orlando was super chirpy.
Hey, man. They've got 9 wins. I will be celebrating too. And talking too. They were talking. Jalen, the Wagners.
The Wagners Mercy. Were out here talking for sure. They even Wendell was out here talking yesterday.
And Joe Colley brought up a point. It's like the Grayson thing is one thing. Now you go to Orlando. They feel that they could take anything they want from you. Is this becoming a trend? Not necessarily you got to react and be dirty and stuff to these people, but let these people know we ain't the team to be dunking on. This ain't DePaul versus Connecticut back in the day.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right. That's enough of that.
It's not Maryland versus Illinois on Friday.
That's better. Conference play has not been kind to my Blue Demons. That's why we always are saying, well, let's see what happens in January.
They came close for Xavier.
They did. They could have had another top 20 win. But you know who's getting good right now? Marquette.
Ugh.
Yep. I think they have 3 top 20 wins.
They beat Illinois.
Make it 4. No, wait, but was Illinois ranked at the time?
Yeah, early in the season, they were ranked. Even though it was without Kofi, they pretty much dominate the Illini up there in Milwaukee.
There's nothing I hate more than Marquette being good. Nothing. Back to the football from this weekend. I want to throw some statistics your way from the game last night. First of all, you have every one of those games being won on the last possession. And until the Sunday night game, you had it being a total of 9 points separating the teams, which is crazy. QBRs for Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes last night, 90.3. This is on a scale to 100. 90.3 for Josh Allen, 96.3. B96, Kenzie K, what's up? That was the QBR of the two quarterbacks. Allen, 27 of 37, 329 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He also ran for 68 yards. Gabriel Davis with 196 yards, 4 touchdowns. For Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, 33 of 44, 378 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also had 69 yards rushing with a rushing touchdown. Mahomes, with 13 seconds left, rallied 44 yards for the tying field goal. What did the Cowboys do with 14 seconds left? Gave the game away. Versus 2 high safeties, which Leslie Frazier played a ton last night against Mahomes. Mahomes was 29 and 38 for 344 yards and 2 touchdowns. This is the first time that a quarterback has gone over 300 yards passing, no interceptions, 3 or more touchdowns, rushed for 65 yards or more to lead their team in rushing. No other quarterback has done that in a game. These two dudes both did it in one game. It was incredible, high leverage, high fun football. I'm with Big Ant. All you got to do is stop him if you want the ball back. Even if you give up a field goal, you get the ball back. So I'm totally fine with the overtime rules, and I know that that's going to be a big thing all week. It's happened like 10 times in the last 10 years of NFL football, where you've had overtime games and then 7 of them people score touchdowns on the first drive. Stop someone. Defense gets paid too. What I thought was weird yesterday, it started Saturday night, like late Saturday night, where you're like, where are these Tom Brady reports coming from? And then you're like, oh, Jeff Darlington, who sat down with Tom Brady a couple weeks ago, like he had it, and then Schefter had it, and then it just kind of, then Collinsworth and Michaels were talking about it on the broadcast, and they've got a graphic of all the things that Tom had said to them. That came out of nowhere. And I do think, and even I was watching ESPN yesterday morning, and Brewski was like, yeah, I could see him retiring. Tom has put the word out there. I think I might be done. And if he is done, good for him. If he wants to play, good for him. He had the storybook ending last year. And if you listen to this show, you would have heard me say, had I been Tom Brady, I'd have taken off all my clothes and stood there at the 50-yard line after we won the game. And I'd have been like, that's it. We don't need to do anymore. I've brought a championship to Tampa. Y'all didn't think I could do it without Bill Belichick. There would have been a double bird salute, and I would have walked off with Giselle. And that would have been the end. So if he doesn't get the storybook ending this time because he walks away before he can win another championship, so be it. But he gave you a thrill. I know I bet it last night. When we got to halftime, I was like, you know, it wouldn't be that weird to see Tom Brady and the Buccaneers rally. I think I got him plus 850 at halftime. And I was feeling great. And then I wasn't. Because they took a risk that they didn't need to take defensively. I would have been like, no, let's make Matthew Stafford, let's make him march. Let's see if he can march down there. Nope. Just needed one play.
Couple of coaching candidates' resumes got messed up this weekend, and it shouldn't be.
It really
should.
But people
will look at that and make that more big, like with Leslie Frazier and then Bowles there.
My whole thing is it bothers me, like inside of my timeline on Twitter, people like, they got to go get Dable because you enjoyed the one game. Like, Leslie Frazier shouldn't be eliminated from the conversation because of that, of what happened, and neither should Todd Bowles. And we shouldn't just anoint Dable without, although I think he's probably going to end up with a Giants job, but we should just anoint him the coach because of the crazy offense. And yes, he does get some credit in helping Josh Allen along. So should Jordan Palmer, who's been instrumental in his development as a QB. But yeah, it was weird. It's like, oh, I don't want this guy because they lost this game. Small sample. Be back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I was out of town when I got the news that Les Grobstein had passed away. And, you know, I've been trying to work through it. I've actually think that in talking, I did a whole pod on House of L about Les, and working for Les is one of his producers. And he will be missed. It's so weird because he's one of those people that you think is going to be here forever, that he would be the person to outlive everyone. I'm very sad that he's gone. I watched the funeral while I was away. Our buddy David Schuster did a tremendous eulogy. I'm glad that they gave Shu some room to talk about all sorts of stuff. And you find out about all the craziness of like driving with Les. And I thought it was really, really great. And I found it to be very comforting. I also really appreciated the outpouring of affection from Score listeners and WLS listeners and ESPN 1000 listeners about the joy that man has given them for decades of being the overnight host that you tune in to hear what crazy thing he's going to say or how angry he's going to be about stuff. Herbie and I both had the joy of producing Les Grobstein. And when I was thinking about the thing that I wanted to share, it was one of the production pieces that I was a part of. So I thought it would be fitting, especially this weekend, because Les would have loved Saturday night. He would have loved Saturday night. And I can imagine that he may have said after the game, Aaron Rodgers, and for that, you suck.
Oh, you paralyze my mind, and for that, you suck.
You suck.
You suck.
I think you suck. Are you paralyzed?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.